Right, yo, let's rock and roll. Let's go for it. Action.
Can I be frank with you? I think he's a bust. I want my picks back. I want my number ones back.
It's undrafted. It's undrafted. It's undrafted. It's undrafted.
No one asked for this.
So welcome to the podcast Nobody Asked For's Undrafted with me, Ian Harries, and usually Graham Jones, but Graham is not here this month. So instead, we have replaced Graham with the near, how shall I intro this? We could go over the top. We could go near legendary figure. That is my dad. Dad, welcome to the podcast.
Yes, hello there. Yes, I'm Kevin Harris, Ian's dad. I have made some very minor interludes into this podcast over the last couple of years, but I've never had a full conversation.
Yeah, interludes.
How would you describe
it?
Sort of snippets.
Snippets. Snippets is better than interludes.
Snippets of banter.
Yeah, because the one that always springs to mind is asking whether you would have expected me to save you from alligators.
Yeah, well, I knew that answer immediately. I knew that answer immediately. And, you know, just get that sellotape out, get it round the old muzzle, right on the very, very end. And he can't open his mouth, can he? You're sorted, aren't you? Gaffer
tape. And then you're good. You're in.
Sorted.
It just makes sense.
End of story. You get yourself out of that little cubbyhole or whatever. Bob's your uncle.
But we digress. So this is our monthly. Obviously, if you're listening to this, you're one of our glorious Patreon listeners. We appreciate you. So usually we take this opportunity to randomly pick a topic, and then draft our top five lists of it. But for this month, we decided to do something a bit different. So on an episode a couple of weeks ago, where we were talking about actors we would want to start a podcast about, one of my choices was doing an Arnie podcast with my dad and calling it Dad's Arnie. Which, one, I think is a good idea for a podcast anyway, and two, I think
it's a fantastic name.
It's an incredible pun.
Oh yeah, it just suddenly came to me. You know, I've heard it bandied around, but it's like it's a genius, isn't it?
It just makes sense. Arnie. Dad's Arnie. Yeah. It makes sense. All the branding would be sorted. It'd all be Dad's Arnie themed.
I was there when these films were released, you know, and basking in their glory. You know, so literally, it is Dad's Arnie. Yeah, I'm all for the guy.
Yeah, so what we decided to do, so we are still drafting a top five list, but we have already picked, and we are going this month for Arnie films. So Arnie's just great. Really? Like, if we're going simple with it, I have a lot of time for that.
I think his genius is he picks really good scripts, and he doesn't sort of, obviously we all know he's not, you know, a fantastic actor per se, though he does have a comedy side to him.
Yeah.
But I think he's very careful of the scripts he picks. I can't really think of an absolutely chortly crap Arnold Schwarzenegger film, really.
At least pre-political career.
Pre-political career.
Pre-political career, it was...
I'm not saying poor, but not crap, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Even the sort of... what's that one, The Last Stand he did when he was a sheriff
yes.
of the town? You know,
yeah.
It's got a little something to it. It had the guy from Jackass, didn't it?
Johnny Knoxville was in it, yeah.
Yeah, so it has a little something to it, but not, you know, the original, obviously the 80s films are the best, you know, the Predators and the Commandos.
Yeah.
We may go into them in a minute.
I assure you we will. But yeah, it's one of those, I think Arnie knows what Arnie's limits are.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't necessarily think, not to name and shame Sylvester Stallone or anything, but Arnie knows where to pitch himself, and I think that's why he works. Yeah.
Well, you know, you start your acting career, well, he's done things before, but when he did Terminator, he literally was a robot, wasn't he? So he didn't have to give a lot of emotional breadth into his performance, but, you know, I think he had a lot of input in Terminator as well, in the way it was sort of portrayed, really. I think he made the character more than it was on paper, as it were, you know?
Oh, definitely, because because the original, it all came out again recently, because there's I haven't watched it yet, but there's a Netflix Arnie documentary. Came out again in there that the original choice for the Terminator Well, not, I'm not sure if it was the original choice, but apparently O.J. Simpson was discussed.
Oh, my God.
And that would have been the...
Oh, that was a close call.
The future of... Because you wouldn't have had, without Arnie in The Terminator, you wouldn't have had Arnie in a lot of the other action things.
Yeah.
And then you wouldn't have had that whole genre of basically he's a superhero.
That's right, yeah.
But he's like... Talking of him being a superhero, and I know we talked about this, I think, a little bit in the car while you were driving me back from a rugby tournament where I nearly fucked my knee.
Nearly fucked your knee?
Well, not nearly. Where I
It looked fucked to me.
Where I fucked my knee, but not irreparably fucked my knee.
No, not irreparably. You managed to get into a car and sit down. So that
I was good.
That's something.
At that point, we weren't sure where it was on the fuckeded scale.
It was definitely
fucked.
Oh yeah, it was a little bit open to interpretation.
Yeah. But I remember, I can't remember why we were talking about Arnie, but I googled his chest measurements. And so Arnie had a 57-inch chest, which is disgusting. He is he is 6 foot three. His arms are 20 or at his like Mr. Universe peak, his arms are 22 inches around, which is insane. His waist, 30 inches.
Oh, nasty.
And he weighs slightly less than I do. So
I'm surprised at that.
It puts it into perspective. Like, I can't
it was a high benchmark to get to for me in the 80s. I thought, I've got some muscles, but, you know, I never quite got there. You know, I did a little bit of pumping. I never quite got there, though. But
I don't even get how you would. Well, like, 57 inches is a lot of...
Yeah, that's a lot of exercise. Not
even exercise, but like, I don't even think I could get my waist to 57 inches. And that's a lot easier of a journey to take.
Have you seen his first film, the Hercules one?
I haven't. It's... It's on many like good bad movie lists. The other big Arnie film on good bad movie lists, which I'm assuming we aren't talking about today. Obviously Batman and Robin.
I like Batman and Robin.
It's
of his time. You know, I liked his portrayal of Mr. Freeze. I think it's it's a bit cartoonish.
I enjoyed whatever the hell he was doing in it, but it was a weird
and all
film.
The sort of day glow stuff, and at the time it was the 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, 90s,
so it sort of was of his time, you know. I haven't seen it recently, so no doubt it's, and I like Jim Carrey or the Riddler, obviously.
It's aged. It's an interesting film because I think it if you watch it now with all of the very very serious Batman films.
They had Bane in it. They had everyone in it.
Yeah.
Poison Ivy, Bane. It's like, cram another one in, you know.
There was
another one in.
Batgirl, Robin, and then they had a computer disc with all of Bruce Wayne's secrets on that his butler had encoded with a really easy password. George Clooney, I'm sure that's the film. George Clooney has like a bat credit card.
It's good stuff.
It's bordering on parody.
It was, I think Jim Carrey was big at that time, and I think it was, it was a good time for him to be that Riddler character. It is of his time, but
yeah. So Jim Carrey was Batman Forever, so he was the one before.
All right,
and then
I'm mixing them up. I'm mixing them up now. It's all one big lump.
Oh, it is. That sums that era up perfectly. Yeah, it's just a big lump of day glow paint and
stuck together
weirdness. But so we have always liked Arnie, I think, as a family, and we will talk about intros to Arnie as we go through our choices. But I think it's time to start. Usually we would fire up the Kevin Costner Mark III 2000 to randomly pick a topic for us.
Pancake eating motherfucker.
But we know what we're picking from, because we're picking our favourite or the best Arnie films. And as the guest, Dad, I think it's only fair. Well, as the guest and as my dad, I think it's only fair that you get the first choice.
Dad's Arnie. My first Dad's Arnie choice tonight, Ian, is Predator. As you can see, I'm wearing the T-shirt that you bought me with the time signal on his wrist, nuclear bomb. I presume it was a nuclear bomb. It looked like one, didn't it?
I think
when
so.
When it went off at the end. Which, obviously, Arnie managed to outrun.
Yeah, of course, because he's Arnie and he can do what he
even
wants.
Even though the Predator was chuckling at him, he managed to run out. Yeah, but there you are. It's good stuff.
Jesus Christ. I mean, Predator is, first of all, the correct choice for number one. I mean, if you hadn't picked it at number one, I would have picked it at number one. It's so good.
And I think he's got everything that Arnie can bring to a film in it. Basically, he's got humor, action, you know, gravitas, you know.
Incredible one-liners.
Incredible one-liners. You know, a good story, you know. Because back in those days, we didn't have trailers that give you all the storyline, you know. So I went in to watch it with the very bare basics.
Yeah.
You know?
Speaking of which, don't watch the new Dune trailer.
Oh, my God. No.
Because it's... they've released one today. And it is incredible, but
I don't know why they do that. Yeah, I know you try and avoid them, don't you?
Trailers,
they just give too much information out. I don't know why, but I didn't want to know the plot of Predator. That's the major thing about it. You know, it was science fiction classic, really.
But it's because I've mentioned this on the podcast repeatedly, but I still remember watching it on a sick day from school, where you rented it from Video World.
Lucozid and an 80s action movie. Obviously, Aliens, you mentioned this before. I got that for you. Obviously, Predator. But that was back in the day. You know, you used to pick it off the old shelf, VHS format.
But Predator's got a lot of, like, my go-to Arnie stuff as well, because you have would you call it a handshake or a high five? Like the...
It's a grasping handshake.
Yeah.
Slash arm wrestling move, isn't it? They've gone together. And you've been pushing too many pencils in the CIA.
You've got pushing too many pencils.
Yeah. And they both got equally, you know, spray on sweat on the muscles, you know. That's the start off the film.
Then without questioning it, you have, he lifts up that, they've got like a lorry that is a generator and like that rebel camp.
Oh, yeah.
And he just lifts it up and pushes it down a hill. And
there is the ambush scene.
There isn't a single part of that where I think, you know what? I don't think Arnie could do that.
Oh, no. In fact, all the characters in it are pretty good. You know, they've all got their own little, you know, a niche in it, and they all do it very well, really. They've all got different weapons and, you know, completely impracticable in reality. But I'll get on to the minigun in a minute. I've done a lot of research on that minigun.
And three of them are were in politics. Now,
yeah, that's rather strange, isn't it?
Because Jesse Ventura was like the governor of Minnesota, and the guy who played Billy, I think, ran for office. I'm not sure if he got it.
Yeah, the Native American guy.
Yeah.
But they're all obviously big characters, weren't they? You know, back in the day.
Oh yeah,
they brought a lot to the film. But I remember when I saw it in the cinema, Marble Arch in 1987, and with the big screen cinemas. I sat there on the balcony watching it all unfolding. I thought, this is finally the film for me. Everything I require is in this film. The sound, the jungle sounds coming out of the speakers were brilliant. And I only realised yesterday when I was talking to your mother that your mother was there as well at the time. She hated it. She hated it, of course. But I was there enjoying it, you know, loving it. And your mother was sitting next to me going, what the hell is this? You know, but... Yeah, that was a big moment of cinema for me. Obviously, now with smaller screens, isn't it? But unless you go to IMAX, but it was good stuff. But
it's, what's the best one-liner from Predator?
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
It has to be.
And apparently, the blood, I found this out, the blood was the Dayglow stuff from those lights. You know, the lights you can crack, chemical lights, with personal lubricant.
Ah, always.
That's how it's
always good.
That's how it stuck on the leaves. But it glowed. It glowed.
It glowed.
It dripped.
It definitely glowed.
That's after we unloaded a lot of bullets from the minigun,
you know,
which I mentioned earlier, couldn't possibly be carried by one man. The reason is not because of the bullets; it's because it needs a battery to make the machine work.
Really?
The Gatling gun. The Gatling gun, obviously. The barrel spin around, and that isn't done by gas or any other form of... it's done by a battery. So he'd have to carry a giant battery with him, basically, as well. So even Jesse Ventura couldn't do that. He could have carried the bullets, but not the battery. So that's the one thing that draws it down. But it's still great. And I think to my memory, it's my first experience of a minigun in cinema, you know, and I was very impressed by it. Very impressed.
Miniguns in cinema is a great episode idea.
Yeah. Well, the best I can just chip in quickly is from The Matrix, the original Matrix minigun, where he comes down in the helicopter next to the room where he's been interrogated. That was the best. Yeah.
For the very rare emotional minigun scene, Last Samurai.
Right.
When they're the cavalry charge at the end, when they've got the mini, the old school hand cranked Gatling guns.
Yeah, that's the old school Gatling gun.
That's quite a good scene.
Yeah.
Like the I could talk about Predator for ages. The whole I can't remember his name. Bill Duke, so Jesse Ventura's mate in it.
Yeah.
The one who ends up stabbing like a boar because he's run out.
Oh yeah.
After what he thinks, and he's got that whole story about how it's just it was just me and you walking out there.
It's all great. It's all really good. It gives him a backstory. K. San, I think he was talking about, wasn't he?
Yeah.
In the Vietnam War, and he was the only one together with the other chap who came out alive. He had the lighter, I think, as well.
But, yeah.
And he was his end was he was crawling under that bush, wasn't he, trying to sneak up on the Predator.
Yeah.
And then he got the old three lights on the forehead. Sorry, mate. Good night, Vienna. Off you go. But he nearly got there. Nearly.
But yeah, Predator's great. So my first choice. But I mean, like I said, Predator. It would have been Predator, but Predator has been taken. My go-to Arnie film after Predator is always Commando.
Oh yes.
I unashamedly love Commando. Is it a good film? Yeah. Probably not. But it is such a good film. You've got Bill Duke rocks up in it, obviously.
Yeah, gets killed again quite quickly.
Gets killed again.
By a piece of furniture.
Yeah.
What a way to go. Who would have thought the furniture was that dangerous? He gets impaled on one, doesn't he? By Arnie. Obviously, he's got the strength of 20 men. He threw the guy on the... I don't know if it was it a chair or a table, but instantly gets impaled.
I think it was a table. I think it was like a table leg.
And the classic one-liner, I eat green berets for breakfast.
Yeah. You know, when I said I'll kill you last, I lied.
Yeah, I lied. I think he's got even more in it, Commando.
Because Commando also starts with... So it opens up with my favorite, Arnie, credit sequence. Because you have it, clearly the director was like, right, we need to show that this guy is a family man. And loves his daughter, but we also need to show that he is a badass piece of Austrian oak. So they cut from him cutting down a tree and then cut to him and his daughter eating ice cream. Then they cut back to him carrying an entire log on his shoulder.
Yeah, it's a tree. It's a tree, basically.
Yeah. Then they cut to him and his daughter feeding ice cream to a deer.
Oh, that's I knew the deer came in. Feed ice cream to the deer. As you do. Ice cream deer.
Because he's sensitive.
He likes deer.
Also a film where he pushes a truck down a hill. He does it to try to catch them, right? It's it doesn't have an engine or it doesn't have it's not working. And he pushes the truck through the forest to try and catch up to these people escaping.
He does a Fred Flintstone in the old truck another hill.
Pretty much.
And that's his daughter gets kidnapped, and this little man's in his living room, isn't it, to blackmail him?
Yeah.
But as soon as he comes in, Arnie has no interest in talking to this guy about the blackmail plan. He's just looking out the window. He sees his daughter being driven away, and immediately shoots this guy, first kill.
Because it's the it's something he talks to us, "So you're going to do this, right, John?" And he's like, "Wrong." Yeah.
And he's basically ignoring. I watched it again yesterday. He just didn't even look at him. He's looking out the window and thinks, right, I'm going to shoot this guy first. Then I'm off now. And he goes after his daughter. He's like, straight into it. You know, this is what I like about it. He's basically, didn't get straight into it. No, I haven't got time to talk. I'm off to rescue my daughter.
It's just so incredibly over the top. And it is basically a cartoon. I love it.
But you accept it at the time, jumping out of the plane, for instance, when he kills the guy. Leave my friend alone. He's dead tired. And how do I get off a plane that's taking off at 145 miles an hour? Jump out of the whale. Luckily, there was a small marsh nearby.
Yeah, and that's enough. That's all you
landed
need.
Landed in. Yeah, got up, reset his watch. Obviously, he knew the time he had, and off he went.
Yeah. I'm not sure what my favorite one-liner from it is. Dead Tired is definitely up there. Green Berets for breakfast. Said I'd kill you last.
Yeah. And he's holding him by the entire body of a man hanging from one arm over a cliff. You know, that's not easy, is it? That's not easy. Even for Arnie.
From the car that he, like a fairly decently built sports car that he just rips the seat out of so that he can hide while sitting on the floor. And it's like, no.
Rip that seat out.
And he's a big guy. He's not getting in and out of that car easily. That's just not how it works.
No way.
Yeah, Commando's my second choice. And John Matrix is a hell of an action hero name as well.
It is good. I don't think you can come for a better one, really. Green Beret, whatever, Special Forces, you know. Yeah. He's been there and seen it all. But and what's the island they go to?
Is it something Verde? It's something Verde. Yeah.
Because I think it appears in a couple of other films, doesn't it? The actual location.
Yes. It's It rocks up in Val Verde. Valverde,
that's it. Yeah.
So it turns up in Commando, Die Hard 2, a couple of video games. Episode 5 of a 1988 series called Super Carrier.
Oh.
Which seems to be about an aircraft carrier.
Right. And then he goes to that Marks and Spencer's for mercenaries, doesn't he? That little shop behind a shop.
Yes, he does.
I'll just pop in here. I'll stop here for a minute, lads. I'm just going to get myself some weapons, missiles, you name it, off the shelf. Off he goes.
Yeah, for a while, I had the Arnie phone case.
Yeah.
Because you know the new, as soon as they had the multi-cameras and phones.
Yeah, yes, so yeah.
It replaces the rocket launcher in the photo of Commando of him with the rocket launcher.
Yeah, it was the four barrels, wasn't it? Four barrels.
Exactly,
rocket
yeah.
Launcher. Yeah. And then he ends up on the island. Covers him. Why does he cover himself with camouflage when he's out in the jungle?
And the smallest pair of Speedos.
Oh, yeah. I must admit, even back then, I think this is looking a little bit homoerotic back in the day. But, you know, he thought, how can I show off my physique the best whilst killing another 79 people? I was a 78. But they very helpfully came running out of the villa, didn't they?
Yeah.
All the small hedges.
We haven't even talked about Bennett.
Oh, Bennett, yeah. Well,
because
the best
one-liner is let off some steam, Bennett.
Let off some steam,
That is it.
He gets killed by another piece of engineering pipeline or whatever.
Because it's the whole story was it was supposed to... So I can't remember the actor's name off the top of my head, but the actor who played Bennett quit at like the last minute. And they already made all of the costume for him.
Yeah.
And the Aussie guy they got in to play him was considerably bigger than the other guy. But they didn't
Wings Hauser, apparently. Wings Hauser, this guy was called.
Yeah.
And he was fired on the first day of shooting. It was interesting to see what he actually did on the first day of shooting. But they got the road warrior, Vernon Wells, the Australian actor. Who is absolutely, you know, in Mad Max 2, he's an absolutely fantastic character, that road warrior.
Yes.
So that's why I remember at the time thinking, that little outfit he's got there. Mm. You know, I ignored the porno moustache. Black leather motorcycle gloves. But this chainmail covered T-shirt did look rather tight.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, why does it look so too tight?
Too tight. Because even if you wanted to make a tight chainmail T-shirt.
Yeah,
you wouldn't have had it like because it was like you could tell. Like I'm assuming it was cutting off supply to things.
Yeah, I'm thinking has he put a bit of weight on since he's been measured up for it. But no, in fact, he was wearing another actor's outfit. He did his best, you know.
He tried.
Give it a good go. In fact, he nearly got there, didn't he?
Nearly.
He got piped.
It was one of those things, and you can forgive Arnie for it because he's Arnie, but that final fight scene between a guy who just looked like an 80s porn star and Arnie in swimwear, it was just like, Arnie is just...
Yeah.
There is no world where this guy gets the upper hand over Arnie here.
Yeah, Bennett, you know, even with his chainmail two-type vest on, didn't look like he was going to win that fight or any stage of the proceeding. It was only going to be a matter of how he was going to die. And pretty he died much. In a remarkable way via a steam pipe.
Yeah.
Or a pipe that lets steam out. But certainly he's not going to get away from that one anyway.
Nice. So first choice is out of the way. Second choice for you.
Right. Let me think about this for 2 seconds. I think it's got to be Terminator 2 for me.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. I think that is fair. It's a very good film, isn't it?
It's one of the, I don't want to say few, but there's not many that the actual sequel is better than. Mad Max is probably similar.
Yeah.
The sequel is better than the actual first film, even though the first film itself was good. Yeah. Mad Max is good. Mad Max 2 is better. Terminator 2 was good. Terminator 2, the action sequences are incredible. I think they still stand up to this day as really.
They really do.
The art ones, you know. And I think a lot of them, they weren't CGI, you know. A lot of these, the lorry chase in the Los Angeles water, you know. Courses, yeah. you know, the fantastic stuff.
It was a really, yeah, it was even because the T-1000 was the liquid Terminator, like even the graphics on that haven't aged because it was so simple.
Yeah, yeah.
It kind of looks all right.
I think they didn't overdo it and they kept it to a minimum, so they didn't try and sort of stretch it too much. So yeah, it looked good. And I think, am I right in saying that the beginning was when he appeared next to the motorcycle gang?
Yes, yes.
And he said to the guy, I want your jacket, your bike. And then probably rips his heart out, doesn't he? Rips his heart out, as you do.
I can't remember. See, I want your coats, your boots, and your motorcycle. Yeah, because then he turns up in the leather jacket with the sawn-off shotgun.
Yeah, that is the classic. I think that character then from Terminator was sort of fully formed, but I think that Terminator 2 really was a fully formed character, and that was the look, wasn't it? You know,
yeah.
With him with his leather jacket on and his sawn-off shotgun. But it was good stuff.
It was good. But, I think that also seemed to be where Arnie started realizing a little bit that he was funny.
Yeah, yeah,
I think he started because I think his confidence. He wasn't just playing the bit comically big guy anymore. I think he had a little bit more to work with.
Yeah, which I think he has got a sense of humor. You know, you see that in his private life, and that came out in that film, and obviously then went on to other stuff. But
it's just.
So what's your favorite bit in the film?
I think it is the truck chase, like you said, through the LA. I'm fairly sure it's the LA River, but it looks like a sewer, right?
I think it's designed to be sort of water. If there's a massive flood in Los Angeles, all the water gets sent funneled into there, basically. So, but there's been endless films filmed down there, various chases down in that particular location. But that is
Greece.
Yeah, loads of stuff.
Yeah.
And, but that's one of the most impressive things, you know. But obviously it's Cameron, wasn't it? James Cameron?
James Cameron, yeah. Who has a history for making very good sequels because Aliens is obviously one of the best sequels ever made.
Another classic, but not including Arnie, sadly.
Not including Arnie.
We could have shoot only in the summer, I'm sure.
Yeah, Terminator 2 is incredible. I'll go straight on to my second choice because it's related. My second choice is The Terminator. So I'm going for the first one.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is also, because I think in The Terminator, he's only got like 20 lines
or
something like that. Like barely spoke. And like you said, he is just so, he's such just a machine.
Yeah, he's cut it down to the bare minimum. But obviously, he didn't have a lot of lines, but I think he made the most of the ones he had, really. But
definitely.
I always remember the bit where someone knocks on the door and you come. There's a little screen comes out with his options. Fuck off, asshole, was one of them.
Yes,
There's a knock at the door. And then he goes to the most gullible gun shop in where, I think it was Los Angeles.
Oh, God,
I want one of them. I want one of them. And the guy goes, yeah. Could I have some bullets, please? You know, the alarm bell should have sounded then, but
Is that when he also, because I haven't seen either of
them. He asked for the old plasma rifle.
Yes,
plasma 500. And the guy went, what? That, you know,
laser
we don't have any of them yet. It's the future, but he walks out with a load of other gear.
Terminator 2 is definitely, I think, the stronger film, but the Terminator is still great.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Terminator, it would be Terminator 2 has the incredible shot of them repairing, doing like surgery on Arnie's head.
Yes. Yeah.
And the way that they did it was a fake mirror. And you had, so Linda Hamilton, who plays Sarah Connor, has a twin sister.
Blimey. Yeah.
So they had her on one side and then her, so Linda Hamilton with Arnie on one side, and then her sister acting as her reflection with a prosthetic that she was cutting up, and it was like a damaged battery core or something they were trying to get out of there.
Right.
But they've all aged so well. And like the Terminator, when they think they've beaten him, but there is a massive space in the background of the shop, so you know they haven't. But I don't think we fully expected the unskinned Terminator to appear, because that has aged very well as well.
It is very good.
So third, back to you. I slipped in with the Terminator at two, so it's number three.
Let me think for a second. You may have to pause the podcast for a moment while I have a little perambulation.
You can figure it out.
Yeah, let me have a little think about it. Back in the room, Conan the Barbarian.
My
third choice, Conan the Barbarian. That was a brilliant film. John Milius, I believe, directed it.
Yeah.
And it was, I haven't got a bad word to say about it, really. Excellent film. You know, the whole design of it.
James L. Jones?
Yeah. As the strange snake god.
Yeah.
And another, you know, it didn't need a lot of acting, but he did bring a lot to the role. He looked fantastic in it, obviously, as you'd imagine Conan to look like, you know. And, he brought a lot to it.
Yeah, he's just...
The guy narrating it. I think he was one of the characters, a little sort of a Chinese character. Narrating it in that sort of old-worldly way, you know. It just brought it all together, really. I don't know where it was filmed. It looked like it was out in Mongolia or something. It was really, you know...
Yeah.
You could sit down and watch that film again today. It was great.
It was such a... Some of the quotes, some very weird one-liners in that, because they're obviously so over. And a lot of the one-liners are just Conan the Barbarian, like, shouting and screaming. So James L. Jones played a character called Thulsa Doom.
Oh, that's it. Thulsa Doom.
Thulsa Doom.
Up the big stairs. Up to the snake. Was he worshipping snakes, I believe, wasn't he? He was into his snakes for some reason. But how Arnie got involved with him, I can't remember the plot line. But
I think he kills his like tribe.
Oh, right.
And then Conan becomes a slave.
Yeah.
And then,
of course, yes. He's in that massive wheel, isn't he?
Yes, which
he's
is
in
now.
That massive wheel. Yeah.
Which is now part a strongman thing in one of like Arnie's got his like Arnie classic. Right. Strongman competition. And it's like Conan's Wheel of Pain is something.
Oh, right. No, that's brilliant.
Because good for him. Because there's obviously the three films that kind of blend into one a little bit. There's Conan the Barbarian, Conan the Destroyer, and then like Red Sonja. And in one of them, he punches a camel. I remember that much, but I can't remember which one.
I think that's in the second film. Red Sonja, did they have Bridget Nielsen in?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Grace Jones within the second film, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I enjoyed the first one, I think, was the strongest. But,
definitely.
I think it just, it had that sort of, it was an epic, I think is the word for it. It was an epic film, really.
The
way it was put together.
I'm kind of glad we seem to be coming a little bit back into that kind of stuff now. Because I do like a good... sword and sorcery, right?
Yeah, they obviously put a lot of thought into it. You know, the whole layout of the film, where it was filmed, and you know, he looks fantastic. That fight scene in the was it a graveyard, or was it a religious site at the very end where they all come and attack him in the cavalry?
Fantastically
put together. Yeah.
There's always talk of doing it's like Conan the Legend or something, which is Conan's. Right. Old man Arnie at the end of Conan's reign, which could be interesting.
I think one of the films, they do show him, don't they, as an old man on the throne.
Yeah.
It could be the second one, but they show him as a sort of graying old man on the throne. Obviously, he became king. But the new Conan was all right, but it wasn't a patch on the... I say new, it was done about 10 years ago, wasn't it? But
Jason Momoa isn't... I got a lot of time for Jason Momoa, but he's not Arnie.
Yeah. No, which... no, it was a good attempt, but it didn't have that sort of epic sort of feel to it, really.
Yeah.
That the original film had.
Right. So my third choice, I am going to... There's a couple... I mean, there's loads you could pick, because Arnie's been in really great films. But I am going to go... I'm going a little bit different with this one. I am going to go non-fiction and pick Pumping Iron, the documentary that Arnie did, or the documentary about Arnie for when Arnie was trying to win Mr. Universe again.
Right.
And it is insane because it is a glimpse into... So Lou Ferrigno is in it because he was competing at the same time. And
the original Incredible Hulk.
And I think Arnie is just there being unbelievably Arnie. And it's also aged like insanely badly. Well, not badly, but he openly takes steroids in it.
Blimey. Yeah.
There's a scene which is one of my favorite Arnie quotes. Is and I won't say this in an Arnie accent because I will murder it. So when asked about the pump you get when you're working out and your muscles are big, it's as satisfying to me as coming is, you know. So can you believe how much I am in heaven? I'm like getting the feeling of coming in a gym. I'm getting the feeling of coming at home. I'm getting the feeling of coming backstage when I pump up, when I pose in front of 5,000 people. I get the same feeling. So I'm coming day and night. I mean, it's terrific.
Blimey. But, that's one way to look at it.
Oh, yeah. That's but cool. it's Arnie. So this is 1977.
1977. So
it's just as he's, it's a couple of years before the Terminator. So the Terminator was 84. So he makes, like you mentioned it yourself, like the Hercules film is in between kind of these years, but it's towards the end of his bodybuilding career. And
is he the main character in the film or is it just about the tournament?
It's about the tournament, but he is by far the main character. Cause I think everyone knew, it's Arnie, right? It is the biggest I think he's been. But the whole thing of the documentary is it's Arnie versus Lou Ferrigno, basically, who are facing off in the it's Mr. Olympia, And it's this documentary that kind of put Arnie on the map.
Right.
Strongly recommend it. It is mental.
Oh, I have to see it. Obviously, at the time steroids were legal.
Yes.
Back in those days. Was Springer on them as well, or was it just Arnie?
I think you see Arnie take them. The implication is they all were. Mm. But, you know, 57-inch chests don't make themselves, I guess.
Well, that is what you're going to ask yourself. Never mind. Yeah.
So we're into the second half now. So your fourth choice.
Right. Another science fiction, Total Recall.
Nice. Again, goes without saying. Also some great one-liners.
Yes. Yeah. A brilliant film. Douglas Quaid, I think the character's
Douglas
called.
Douglas Quaid.
Which is sort of middle of the road. He's a sort of ordinary guy, isn't he? And then he goes into this glorified hairdryer and finds out that, in fact, he's a spy on Mars.
Yeah. Or does he?
This is it.
Hey.
It's another great film. And they did a remake, didn't they, recently, which was absolutely awful film. But Total Recall had some fantastic effects. That one where he's basically disguised as an old woman. And he sort of peels apart. You know, it's brilliant, really. The guy in the stomach, the little
water?
He's from rebel leader, I believe, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's got his little buddy in his stomach. I don't know whether or not he's a twin or something, but
stop the reactor, Quaid.
Yeah. It's a great, but it's like a mad ride, really, isn't it? You've got the robot taxi driver, you know.
Then you've got the mutant taxi driver as well, who betrays them.
Oh yeah, the mutant taxi driver.
I think it's Benny.
Right.
Obviously, three boobed prostitute.
Three boobed prostitute. Yes, I can see you get extra a third more for your money.
Yeah, the guy from Breaking Bad with a weird face.
Ooh,
right, it is him, isn't it? The one who's got like the. I don't know why I'm miming this out in an audio only podcast. Who's got like one eye and like he's got like the loads of skin over one side of his face.
Yes.
That's the brother-in-law, right? Yeah. From Breaking Bad.
I think you could be right. Yeah. There's a few mutants in there. I don't know why they didn't really explain why there were so many mutants on Mars. There must be obviously some form of radiation leak there or something.
Oh, that's something to do with the air, isn't it?
Yeah. And obviously the bit where he has the probe lodged up his nose and it removes. that's bound to hurt, isn't it? I think that was another bit of groundbreaking special effects where they're pulling this big probe out of his nose. His nose swells to the size of a small tunnel.
Because what do we... welcome to the party, Richter? Is that...
Yeah.
That's Total Recall, I think?
Yes.
When he's on the lift going up and rips the guy's arms off.
Yeah, yeah.
But the whole...
Or the bit where he pretends to be a hologram.
Yes.
But he's not a hologram, he shoots them all.
You think this is the real me? It is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a classic bit there. But a good story, obviously, from a science fiction novel as well.
So. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to talk. The remake does not deserve to be talked about. But yeah,
I couldn't believe how bad it was, that remake, to be honest. But,
No Mars. It wasn't set on Mars. Yeah. It was set in Australia or something, which is not Mars.
It doesn't bear talking about the new one.
Yeah, it's a shame. But I loved Total Recall. Because it was, again, it was all of the films he kind of made in a row got bigger and funnier.
Yeah,
and I think Total Recall is like nearing the peak.
I think this film, he had everything in there: drama, comedy, action. He put it all in, and I think it was a really great performance.
Yeah,
a little bit stands out to me where I can't remember the name of the character tries to convince him that in fact he's still in a simulation.
Yes, yeah.
And he looks at the guy's forehead, and a single bead of sweat drips down.
Yeah,
and then he realizes, no, you're actually real, and promptly kills him, I believe. But
promptly murders him.
That was a great bit, you know. But it was quite a complex story, really, and I think they did it very well.
What was the big? I mean, there have been dissertations written on the fact it fades to white at the end, and what that means, and whether
that's right.
Because there's theories: either it all happens exactly like the film shows, he died in the machine, and this is all like his like Jacob's Ladder kind of stuff. Or it is all the memory implants he got from the machine, and it's just happened as advertised.
And this is all coming, you know, virtual reality and all that. It's quite sort of relevant today.
All
that storyline today, it stands up really well in today's sort of
culture. Hugely. I was torn for my fourth choice, but now you've said that, I just for the good segue. And because I don't think this film gets the credit it deserves, speaking of hugely ahead of its time, my fourth choice is Last Action Hero.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Brilliant film. Absolutely brilliant.
Last Action Hero, if it came out today, I think would have been held up as one of his best films.
It was like
a meta commentary on Arnie films. And I just don't think early 90s apparently just wasn't the place for a film like that. But it is so funny. It's got my favorite Arnie one-liner, which, to be fair, is over the top because it's a parody of Arnie one-liners. Are you a farmer? How about a couple of acres?
And that is a classic.
Kicks the guy in the nuts, who then gets air, like a good like 3-4 foot air off the back of it. But it's just such a good film.
He's basically taking the piss of himself, isn't he, in it?
Yeah.
You know, that's a brilliant, you know, it's a brilliant bit of writing. And I think he jumps out of the screen, doesn't he, at the beginning, I believe. You know.
Halfway. So the first half of the film is the little kid with the cinema ticket who goes into the Arnie film.
Right.
Into the Jack Slater film.
Right.
And then I can't remember if Arnie plays Arnie or if Arnie plays an actor who then plays the Jack Slater character. But the first half is set in the action film where it's all crazy and over the top. And there's like
a farting mobster funeral, which is all a bit weird. And yeah, it is all crazy. There's an animated cat policeman that nobody notices and things like that. And then the last half, or at least the last act, is they come out of the cinema into the real world. And that's where I think Arnie gets like shot in the stomach and nearly dies, because he could, of course he would, because he's been shot in the stomach, but he's used to surviving it. And you have, I will find the villain's name, because
is he the guy with an X?
It was the guy. No, so the guy with the axe is like his nemesis, who I think killed his family. But Charles Dance plays a gangster in it, who's he's got like a glass eye.
Oh yes,
and
yes, yes.
It's a bomb, and so he plays Charles Dance is Benedict. Because he comes out into the real world as well, and he shoots someone in the street just randomly to like test his theory, and no policemen come. And he just starts shouting like, I have a gun. I have killed a man in cold blood. And then waits, because in the film, whenever he kills anyone, the police are immediately there because he's the bad guy. And it is like now as well. That is like such a really good commentary on everything. But yeah, so it looks like Arnie plays himself in it. So the film he goes into is an Arnie film, but the character of Jack Slater comes out of the film. And it's but it's like a fictional world where I think in the film Sylvester Stallone plays the Terminator.
because to try to
prove to Jack Slater he's a movie character, they go to like a Blockbuster or something, and they get all the Arnie films up, and they're all played by different people. But
it's great.
It does not get the credit it's warranted at all. So final choices. What is your number five? There's a couple of big names still sitting there, actually.
It's got to be True Lies for me.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
True Lies. And I remember how impressed I was seeing that the first time, that first action sequence when they go to that stately home. He breaks in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also James Cameron, right? I think it's James Cameron as well.
I believe so, yes, yes.
And a remake.
A remake, is it?
Oh. It's a remake of a French language film.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So it's always up there, and rightly so, as one of the best remakes. Because it's
blimey.
It's fantastic.
No, they've done there's a new series out, isn't it? Basically loosely based on the character.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you yet.
I'll probably leave it that way, to be honest. I don't think I have much interest in watching it.
Because I think everyone here, you know, Tom Arnold, Bill Paxton, Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, they're fantastic in this film. Absolutely fantastic. Jamie Lee Curtis is outstanding. Can I say that as a...
Yeah.
A dad quote there, but make of it as he will. But yes, one of the most outstanding roles. But another clever, sort of funny film as well, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, you have him chasing there's a car chase where he's on a horse.
Yep. And I think Tom Arnold is a sort of, is that his sidekick who does all the sort of gadgets and stuff? And
yes,
I believe, yeah, a bit sort of Mission Impossible, isn't it? It's got that sort of same vibe to it, really.
It is very Mission Impossible, actually.
Yeah, which is, you know, the early. You know, I like Mission Impossible as well, and I think it's a good thing. So
no, I have a lot of time for True Lies. It's just very, like you said, it's just very funny.
Well, I think the action sequences are top notch. You know, they've put a lot of money into that, and it almost James Bondish, really, in the sort of scale of them all. You know.
Yeah, I'm very surprised. I guess it's because Arnie. I don't know if it's an Arnie thing or a what, but like if you'd made True Lies now, it would have become a franchise. Like it would have become a whole Mission Impossible style, Fast and Furious style over the top franchise. Yeah. But
that wasn't the thing in those days. That wasn't really the done thing, really. You know, franchises, you may get the odd sequel, but not like a run of a load of films. But just have to make do with the odd classic coming our way back in the 80s.
I'm just having a look through. So I think True Lies was just after Last Action Hero and just before Junior, Eraser, and Jingle All the Way.
you know, all of them good films. You know, as I said, I can't think of a real 100% stinker that he's done. You know, I can't really think of one.
Even if the film's not great, he is always a lot of fun in it.
Yeah, Jingle All the Way is a classic example. He's only him and this other. Who was the other character in it? The guy who played him, but he was done really, really well. You know, light-hearted comedy. You know, film through trying to get a toy for one of their kids. You know, it was good.
Yeah,
good feel to it.
I think similar to Samuel Jackson, where Samuel Jackson's been in some iffy films, but Samuel Jackson is always great in them. And it's the same with Arnie. Yeah. Arnie is always a lot of fun. And this isn't my fifth choice, but I'll mention it again anyway. End of Days, where he randomly makes a film where he's fighting Satan, played by, I think, Gabriel Byrne.
Yeah. It was quite an epic film. I think I saw the sort of sequence when he's in the church in the end where Satan finally appears, and it's quite well done. It's amazing, really, quite epic, really.
That was one where we had it on VHS, you watched it, you then introduced me to the soundtrack, and then we watched it, and I believe you fast forwarded through the orgy scene because guns and violence are fine.
Blimey.
But damn if I watch an orgy.
Yeah, oh no. Swearing and any gratuitous sex was obviously not allowed when you were a young lad. So I remember we tried to watch Shawshank Redemption, but I forgot how much gang rape was in it. And swearing. I thought, oh no. Yeah.
Oh no, we're not going to do this.
My dad's favourite film was a big mistake. I thought, no, Shawshank Redemption. 20 minutes in, it was a quick, sorry about that. You have to do that when you're 10 years older.
We'll put Predator on instead.
Yeah, that's a good old-fashioned Predator.
My final choice. So we are going back to classic action movies for me, which, again, I think this is one of the ones which it is your paint-by-numbers Arnie films. It is stupidly over the top. It has insane one-liners. It's got a sci-fi and comedy edge to it. It also features Mick Fleetwood and Dweezil Zappa in it.
Blimey.
And it, The Running Man.
The Running Man, yeah.
The Running Man is so fucking good, but also in that kind of way where, is it? But it is. And it's some of the best Arnie one-liners. Also, Jesse Ventura is in it. Some of the best Arnie one-liners, I think, come from The Running Man, because you have it's a reality TV show where basically gladiators, but where the gladiators actually kill people. And whenever he dispatches one of these, I think they're called runners, maybe. But
yeah, I think they are called runners.
Whenever he kills one of them, there is always a really bad one-liner. So, for example, Killian, here's your Sub-Zero, now Plane Zero.
Who is the big guy who had some form of helmet illuminated?
Dynamo.
That's it, yeah. He had a pretty spectacular end, didn't he?
Yeah, so there was Dynamo, who was also like an opera singer.
Oh, maybe the opera singer. They go together, don't they?
Yeah, there was a guy with flamethrowers.
It was mad, really.
Jesse Ventura's, I think, was just called like Captain Freedom or something like that.
Pretty basic.
Yeah, Sub-Zero, Buzzsaw, which was like the lumberjack one.
I remember
one.
Buzzsaw, yeah. Another great film. It was... I believe, was it from a novel or a science fiction novel?
Yeah, so I think it was. It might have been a Philip K. Dick book, but it was written under a pen name, maybe? No, it was a Stephen King book, but written with a pen name. So it was...
Right. It's a good story. Obviously, you know, exploitation of the media, etc. You know, how far they'll go to get audience numbers, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Some of the things you see on Channel 4 late at night, you think, exactly. How the hell is that on television? You know,
like, we're
what
not
people will do.
Yeah, and it's just it is using mindless TV like this to control people and make them forget about.
We haven't got as far as death yet, obviously.
Not yet.
Not yet, but obviously the Romans did it. They were quite happy to do it, didn't they?
So yeah.
Fighting to the death in the old Colosseum.
Right,
but
up until the end.
Thankfully, we haven't got that far on late night TV yet, but another great film.
But yeah, The Running Man is just, I have a lot of time for The Running Man. It is stupid. It is great. And generally, if I've watched Commando within the next week, I would also have watched The Running Man.
Because wasn't he, how did he end up starting off on the, was he one of the staff in the TV?
So he was like a, I think he was in the police and right. He was ordered to fire on like a protest, like an unarmed protest.
Right. Yes.
And he refused to, so they knocked him out, did it anyway, and then blamed it on him. So he was trying to find the unedited footage of this massacre to prove
whilst trying to survive various novelty gladiators trying to wipe him out. But I've got to find the original footage.
It's
on VHS somewhere.
But yeah, it's a great film. But yeah, so those are our choices. That is your first undrafted list completed. So as usual, what will happen is these go on social media at some point during the month. People will vote on who wins. Last month, Graham, in our car park recorded episode where we picked funny films, Graham won the vote. So obviously I'm a little bit heartbroken about that, but I think we'll be fine. So, Dad, thanks for coming on.
Okay, I shall return to obscurity and I shall wish you the best of luck in your... don't forget to vote in the poll, guys. Cheers. Over and out.
You can get in the gym, or the most satisfying feeling you can get in the gym is the pump. Let's say you train your biceps, blood is rushing into your muscles, and that's what we call the pump. Your muscles get a really tight feeling, like your skin is going to explode any minute. You know, it's really tight, it's like somebody blowing air into your muscle. It just blows up and it feels different. It feels fantastic. It's as satisfying to me as coming is, you know, as having sex with a woman and coming. So can you believe how much I am in heaven? I'm like getting the feeling of coming in the gym. I'm getting the feeling of coming at home. I'm getting the feeling of coming backstage when I pump up, when I pose out in front of 5,000 people. I get the same feeling. So I'm coming day and night. I mean, it's terrific, right? So, you know, I'm in heaven.